Our reflection this evening is taken from Isaiah 53, very well-known and beloved text, Isaiah 53, verse 1 to 6. Hear God's word, Isaiah 53, 1. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the grass withers and the flowers fade. And this very good word endures forever, even to today. So during this Advent season, I reread a book I like a lot. It's by Tim O'Brien called The Things They Carried, The Things They Carried. And it's a fictional account of a platoon of American soldiers fighting on the ground in the Vietnam War. However, it's based on O'Brien's own experience as a soldier in Vietnam in the 23rd Infantry Division. It's his effort to process his own trauma through telling stories about the war that merge fact and fiction in order to get at the deeper issues he was dealing with. So he opens his book describing all the things the soldiers in his platoon carried. And they carried so much. I mean, much more than we have time to list, page after page of things they carried. And this is just a sample. Steel helmets, 5 pounds. Steel-centered nylon-covered flak jacket, 6.7 pounds. A green plastic poncho, 2 pounds. M16 gas-operated assault rifle, 8.2 pounds, ammunition up to 14 pounds. Some carried the M79 grenade launcher, 5.9 pounds. Different ones at different times carried other guns and explosives as much as they could bear. Then they all carried 2 to 3 canteens of water, P-38 can openers, pocket knives, heat tabs, wrist watches, a large compressed bandage, stationery, pens, dog tags, mosquito repellent, and various food items up to 18 pounds. And they also carried personal things like love letters and photos, maybe a Bible or a rabbit's foot. Other items like that. And then as the story goes on, you see they carried much deeper things. Other things they carried with them were the awe of the firepower they had, or the thrill of war, the camaraderie with their brothers, a hatred of the war, anger about the war, terror over what might be out there, fear of death, guilt over things they'd done, shame about what they were like, grief over their brother in arms killed right next to them, heartbreak over the girl who didn't love them, frustration that no one back home could understand them, nostalgia over the life they couldn't recover, and paralysis over memories they couldn't let go. And so you see, these young guys were carrying so much, and their heavy equipment was not the heaviest. But those deepest, weightiest burdens that they carried in a unique and acute and complex way, they're common to mankind. They're common to us tonight in other unique and acute and complex ways. And there are still other very weighty burdens that we carry. So Christmas is such a cozy time, such a cheerful time, such a festive time, but really it can only truly be so and not just be a brief respite, because Christmas has everything to say about the hard things we carry. And we know this past year our congregation has been carrying some heart-rending griefs and some serious illnesses, among other things that we are carrying and that you are carrying this evening. So what other things might you be carrying tonight? So it came upon a midnight clear, says Christmas speaks to those bending low under life's crushing load and taking painful steps as they toil along life's climbing way. What realism from that Christmas carol. Well, think about our Advent reading that Patrick read for us tonight. What all did the Son of God in flesh carry? I mean, and from his birth, at the very beginning, throughout his life, around his birth, he was almost massacred in Bethlehem. He has to flee as a refugee to Egypt. Then he returns to grow up in Nazareth, a place despised by many. And yet the prophet Isaiah spoke about all this 700 years before it ever took place. He called the Christ to come. He said he would be the arm of the Lord, meaning God's power and might to save his people, the arm of the Lord. Yet they looked at him, and he was completely opposite to what they thought he would be, to be the arm of the Lord. Opposite. He grew up like literally an unwanted shoot, a shoot from a tree that a gardener would snip off and discard. From his birth in a stable, he's despised and rejected. So why is he despised and rejected? Because he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And this can also be translated a man of sufferings and acquainted with sickness. The idea is that all the pains of this fallen world, all of them. And Isaiah is especially thinking about our sin and all its consequences, the root of all our problems. So the picture in Isaiah is a man looks at this one to come and regards him as worthless and unimportant. He looks at him and said, well, if he's suffering all this, if this is what he's going through, if he's suffering sin's consequences, what did he do? What's he being punished for? How can he be the arm of the Lord to save me? Why do I need him? He's got it worse than I do. But then in verse 4, we find he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, not for some fault of his own, but rather for us. He says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, or he's borne our sufferings and carried our sicknesses. He may be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but it's not his own, it's ours. He carries it not for himself, but for us, because he comes as our substitute. And that's how he is the arm of the Lord, capable of being a substitute. He comes as the God-man, chiefly to bear the root cause of all our affliction, which is our sin. In its sacrificial language, he comes to be the true sacrificial lamb who takes away the sin of the world, the only one who could. So Isaiah continues, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So because Jesus came to carry our greatest burden, our sin, the consequent curse and judgment of God, because he was able to do that, he's also able to carry all of our lesser burdens, all of them. For one, we know that no hardship is ever a punishment for guilt, for he's taken all of it from us. And we also know, given all he went through on our behalf, that he's able to sympathize with us. He felt it too. Comfort us in the midst of it. Strengthen us through it. He's able to heal us. He's able to use everything for our good. He's able to let us share in his own affliction for the sake of others. And we know he's carrying us through the climbing way to the place where there will be no more tears, death, mourning, crying, or pain. For since he broke the curse, he's making all things new. So Christmas is not, therefore, a brief respite. Rather, Christmas is an anticipation of God's ultimate blessing. So C.S. Lewis gives one of my favorite illustrations of the incarnation. He just imagines the descent of the Son of God in flesh. And he says, God descending in flesh, he's as a strong man who stoops down lower and lower and lower to get himself underneath a great complicated burden. He has to stoop very low to lift it. He has to almost disappear under the load before he incredibly straightens his back and marches off with the whole mass swaying on his shoulders. So if you could imagine the Son of God in flesh carrying it all on his shoulders. He came to do that. He came to carry you. He came to carry your life. So how do you regard him this evening? And this all presents an invitation to us. Isaiah spoke of people who avoided him, who dismissed him, who chose to carry their life themselves. But the gospel call is for us to accept him and depend on him and let him carry our burdens for us. And that's what faith in Jesus is. He came to be the great strong man who dealt with our greatest burden and therefore all other burdens. Amen.